ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It was a judgment watched closely across the country. Justice Michael Lee meticulously outlined his ruling in the defamation case brought by Bruce Lehrman, leading to a dramatic finding against the former Liberal staffer.
Mr. Lehrman raped Miss Higgins. I hasten to stress this is a finding on the balance of probabilities. This finding should not be misconstrued or mischaracterised as a finding that I can exclude all reasonable hypotheses consistent with innocence.
Today we step through the judgment with court reporter Patrick Bell. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Patrick, we're going to unpack this judgment from Justice Michael Lee in what was one of the most watched defamation cases ever. Even the reading of the judgment was viewed by tens of thousands of people across the country. So there was just so much interest in this.
Mr. Lehrman remains a man who has not been convicted of any offence, but he has now been found by the civil standard of proof to have engaged in a great wrong. It follows Miss Higgins has been proven to be a victim of sexual assault.
Now, Justice Lee, he had some choice words about what Bruce Lehrman has now put himself through, didn't he?
Indeed, Sam. He suggested, suggested that Bruce Lehrman may have been wiser not to launch this case.
Having escaped the lion's den, Mr. Lehrman made the mistake of coming back for his hat.
So there was a criminal case that fell over, there was jury misconduct, and there was no findings against Bruce Lehrman. Then he took this defamation action against Channel 10 and journalist Lisa Wilkinson over the Project interview with Miss Higgins, where she alleged she was raped at Parliament House. They didn't name him in that, but he's taken this defamation action. So, Patrick, let's unpack now how Justice Lee came to the finding that rape had occurred in the early hours of the morning on a day in March 2019 at Parliament House.
He found that on the balance of probabilities, he couldn't be convinced that Miss Higgins had verbally protested or even physically protested when she awoke to, on her account, find Mr. Lehrman raping her, but he did point to some of the messages and things that she'd said in the days after, where she used expressions such as she was laying like a log and she was barely lucid, and she didn't feel like it could be consensual at all.
What about Bruce Lehrman's evidence about that early morning in March 2019? What did Justice Lee have to say about that?
Justice Lee rejected Bruce Lehrman's account of that morning. Bruce Lehrman had testified that when he went back to the ministerial suite, he collected his keys and worked on notes of a question time brief for Minister Reynolds that was somehow related to the French submarine deal that was gathering some media attention at the time. Justice Lee found that that was not the case.
In light of the above, common sense suggests that it is obvious there was one dominant thought running through the mind of Mr. Lehrman as he was approaching Parliament House, and it had nothing to do with French submarine contracts.
Then we have Ms. There was also an interesting point in the judgment when he said he would have liked to have seen some more challenging of Bruce Lehrman on his account that there was no further alcohol consumption. And incidentally, Justice Lee found that he is convinced that there was more alcohol consumed by the pair of them, despite Brittany Higgins not recalling as much and not giving that evidence.
But he did accept that Brittany Higgins had had a lot to drink and was sufficiently inebriated, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He found that she was, by the time she arrived at Parliament House, a very drunk 24-year-old woman.
And that brings us back to that issue of consent and what consent is. And Justice Lee found that Bruce Lehrman was recklessly indifferent. What does he mean by that?
Well, Justice Lee told the court that Bruce Lehrman, on his view, was hell-bent on having sex with Brittany Higgins.
I consider it more likely than not in those early hours, after a long night of conviviality and drinking, and having successfully brought Miss Higgins back to a secluded place, Mr. Lehrman was hell-bent on having sex with a woman he A, found sexually attractive, B, had been mutually passionately kissing and touching, C, had encouraged to drink, and D, knew had reduced inhibitions because she was very drunk. In his pursuit of gratification, he did not care one way or the other whether Miss Higgins understood or agreed to what was going on.
This, I guess, goes to the narrative that Justice Lee has had to construct, in a sense, in this case. His narrative is that Bruce Lehrman had intentions of having sex with Brittany Higgins and believed that the best place for them to do so was Parliament, because they knew they would be alone. Mr. Lehrman, on that account, couldn't take Brittany Higgins to where he lived because he had a partner at the time. And so that narrative is, I guess, the most conclusive narrative we've had. If we could possibly have a conclusive narrative as to what happened, that's Justice Lee's view, that that Bruce Lehrman came to the view that he wanted to have sex with Brittany Higgins. He was firm in his intention and took her to Parliament House for that reason, and was indifferent as to whether or not she agreed for any of that activity to take place.
Okay, so this is a civil ruling, as we said, and Bruce Lehrman hasn't been convicted of any criminal offence, so we need to remember that. This judgment, it was incredibly long, more than 300 pages, and it took Justice Lee hours just to read sections of it. He described the case as an omni-shambles, right? You know, it's a case with many complexities.
That's right, and in his opening remarks, Justice Lee said that the underlying controversy, as he put it, had become a cause célèbre and had been used as a proxy for other political and cultural conflicts in Australian society.
For some people, any unwelcome findings will be peremptorily dismissed. The reasoning process, including the drawing of fine distinctions based upon the subtleties of the evidence, will be of no interest. Some have predetermined views as to the existence or otherwise of a conspiracy to suppress a rape for political purposes. For more than a few, this dispute has become a proxy for broader cultural and political conflicts.
The twists and turns in this case have been extraordinary. You only have to look 2 weeks ago, when the case was sensationally reopened and we were hearing these claims of Channel 7 having reimbursed Bruce Lehrman for purchasing drugs and engaging sex workers, these kind of details that ultimately didn't play into Justice Lee's decision too much at all, but were a lot of distractions and took a lot of attention away from what was the core allegation that he has made a finding on today.
And important to note that he had problems with Bruce Lehrman and Brittany Higgins as witnesses. They were unreliable historians, he said.
To remark that Mr. Lehrman is a poor witness is an exercise in understatement. As I'll explain, his attachment to the truth was a tenuous one, informed not by faithfulness to his affirmation, but by fashioning his responses in what he perceived to be his forensic interests. Ms. Brittany Higgins, Mr. Lehrman's accuser, was also an unsatisfactory witness who made some allegations that made her a heroine to one group of partisans, but when examined forensically have undermined her general credibility to a disinterested fact finder.
Does he point to anything in particular that makes him think that?
Yes. When it comes to Brittany Higgins's account and her evidence, he pointed to some of the inconsistencies that were identified in 2019, so in the period shortly after the alleged rape occurred, and he said many of those could be very reasonably explained by someone who was trying to grapple with a traumatic experience. But he said that when it came to the inconsistencies in some of what she had said much later on around the time the project episode was being developed, that those were more problematic because it suggested that she was trying to be vague in some instances and may have also been trying to shape a narrative to try and gloss over some of the prior inconsistencies and other issues there.
It would be fair to describe her as a complex and in several respects unsatisfactory witness. Nuance is required in evaluating her evidence, and any contentious and uncorroborated aspect needs to be scrutinised warily.
Brittany Higgins, of course, also presented a photograph that she claimed to the project was contemporaneous evidence of her alleged rape, and that was a photograph of a bruise on her leg. Justice Lee noted that the bruise was on her right leg and that she'd claimed Mr. Lehrman had pressed on her left leg. And so that was another inconsistency in her account that he pointed to. As far as Bruce Lehrman goes, Justice Lee particularly highlighted a difference in his account to his then Chief of Staff, Fiona Brown, at the time shortly after the alleged rape, and his account to the court. He had told Fiona Brown, of course, that he went back to Parliament House to drink whiskey and that Brittany Higgins and he had chatted and they'd had glasses of whiskey. And then when prompted on what else happened, her notes reveal that he said, "I don't want to get into that." That is different from the evidence he gave during the trial, which was, of course, that once they entered the suite, they parted company and he never saw Brittany Higgins again.
I've already said enough to indicate that I consider Mr. Lehrman's account to be an elaborate fancy. As I've already noted, put in stark terms, it's fanciful. A somewhat lubricated male staffer accompanied by a woman he found attractive who had just been pashing in a nightclub despite him being a girlfriend would then be interested after coming back to a private place very late to just say cheerio and then soberly proceed to note up briefs for a question time that was not to occur for 1.5 weeks.
The judge also dealt with this issue that there was an allegation, I suppose, in the project interview that there was some sort of political cover-up going on around this time of this alleged rape. So what did he find in relation to that?
You remember the opening lines of this episode where Lisa Wilkinson had said Brittany Higgins was a young woman forced to choose between her career and the pursuit of justice. And that's not something Justice Lee has found was made out by the evidence. And in fact, he found that Network 10, particularly Lisa Wilkinson and her senior producer, were focused on Brittany Higgins's account, believed it to be true, and didn't do enough to go back and challenge her when it was presented with contradictory claims from within the Prime Minister's office as it was preparing that episode.
They resolved from the start to publish the exclusive story and were content to do the minimum required to reduce unacceptable litigation risk.
What about Brittany Higgins? What does this mean for her, Patrick?
Well, Brittany Higgins, I expect, will view this as vindication because it is the first judicial finding that her allegation is substantially true. We'll await to see if Brittany Higgins makes any public commentary or any response to what the court has found.
Patrick Bell is a court reporter at the ABC. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald, with audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again on Wednesday. Follow us on the ABC Listen app, where you'll find all our past episodes. Thanks for listening.